Well, good evening and welcome.
Good evening.
Good. Oh, I should turn myself on. Good evening and welcome.
Good evening.
I don't think it's any louder, is it?
No.
Is it, you plug this one in?
Yes, I did. Yeah, they're both kind of on. So.
All right. Well, I got a. Oh, no, my red light's on. Now it's on. Now it's on.
There we go.
Now you can hear it.
Yes.
Okay. The battery's going to be getting weak, so we'll keep an ear out for that. I'll keep an eye out for it. Good to be together tonight, and we welcome you in person and on Zoom, and we look forward to worshiping together. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so very, very much that we can be together in your name tonight and look forward to experiencing your presence together. We welcome you. Thank you for welcoming us into your presence. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for making it possible for us to come as we receive you as Lord and Savior and just express our gratitude and great joy for all that you accomplished on our behalf. Holy Spirit, we just pray that you'll be in charge here tonight. Surprise us in how you break through and how you meet us. We welcome you in Jesus' awesome name. Amen. Let's sing. Amen.
Amen. I thought we were just getting started. Good. Thank you, Jeremy. Great choices. Welcome, brother.
Great.
Glad you can be with us.
Thank you. Yes.
Yeah. Who has a testimony you'd like to share with us tonight?
I got one.
Okay. I'm trying to look around, Jeremy.
Morning prayer at work continues, which is fantastic. And, it's kind of expanded a little bit, which is just praise God. And it's funny because I was praying with one of my residents that morning, and her whole, like in the middle of prayer, her whole bed just shifted. It was really cool. Praise God. Everybody's eyes got all big. It's like, whoa.
Awesome. That's good. Praise God. God blessed us yesterday with a beautiful day of weather. One of my daughters and her husband was with us for the weekend. They had to go back home this morning. They live in Indiana. But I've wanted to, I shake my head too. Why would anybody want to live there? But he goes to the seminary, so I'm not arguing with him. And I try to get him fishing when he gets close to me. Yesterday, the weather cooperated. Jeff was able to go with us, and Phil. And we've been out, and we caught a mess of fish. And God was gracious. So we're grateful for safety and got home safely. I never drove my boat so far in one day, so I'm really anxious to fill it with gas and see if there was more than fumes in the tank when we got in. And because I didn't know. When I left the house in the morning, I wasn't sure that's the kind of fishing we were going to do, or at least the night before I wasn't. If I was, I would have taken 2 5-gallon gas cans full of gas with me, just as spare or insurance. But I thought we were going to be fishing in closer to land, but the weather report was such that that boat just wouldn't stay in closer to land yesterday. It just got ahead of its own. And Jeff got behind the wheel, and next thing I knew, we were 35 miles offshore, dropping down and catching fish. We had a school of fish on a fish finder that was 40 feet deep.
I guess it's from the bus that just ran.
You think you just got blamed for something? But it was all good. So we're thankful that we got in safely. That's I tell people, it used to take landlubbers fishing when we lived in Florida. You'd get a lot of company that came down from the north. And they may never have been out fishing offshore in salt water in their lives on a boat. And I'd be backing away from the dock, and I'd said, tell them, now we're going fishing. If we come home, that's a bonus. I said, now, if that scares you, you're as close to the dock as we're going to be until we get the bonus. So now would be the time to jump. And never had anybody jump. And we always got the bonus. Sometimes we needed some help to get the bonus. We've been towed in more than once, haven't we, Dad? One time we were fishing with some of the men that worked for us, and they weren't all Christians. And we wanted to go to a patch reef. This is on the Florida Keys. And we didn't get there, and the boat broke down. I mean, it just stopped. And we were still propelling forward with the momentum from the boat. And so I got up in the front of the boat and I looked out ahead of us to see if there was maybe a reef somewhere that we could fish on or something. Sure enough, I saw them. So I dropped the anchor. We started fishing. We started catching fish. I don't know if we fished half hour or an hour or a couple hours. I forget how long it was, but another boat came by and we waved him down. And he came over and he picked up Dad and took him into shore a few miles south of where we came out from. Dad called our neighbor and came down and got him, brought him out in another boat and towed us in. One of our employees said, man, I can't believe that. He said, I thought sure that the preacher, meaning my father, he was the preacher at the time, I wasn't. I was sure he'd pray, he'd lay his hands on that engine, he'd pray and it would start and run and everything would be fine. But no, Earl's looking for a spot. We throw an anchor, we catch fish. And then before long, somebody comes along, gives him a ride back and brings him out with another boat and tows us in. So God has different ways of taking care of us. You can see that I'm here, so I've always gotten the bonus when I went fishing. And I trust I always will. So we're thankful for that. So we praise the Lord. Good things happen. We praise him. He's still on the throne and control when things happen that we don't like. So that's how we need to live in Christ. Anyone else? All right. Let's pray our offertory prayer. As we receive today's offering, we believe you, Lord, for jobs and better jobs, raises and bonuses, benefits, sales and commissions, favorable settlements, estates and inheritances, interest and income, rebates and returns, checks in the mail, gifts and surprises, finding money, debts paid off, expenses decrease, blessing and increase. Thank you, Lord, for meeting all of my financial needs, that I may have more than enough to give into the kingdom of God and promote the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Lydia, do you want to pass the basket to me? No reason to stop. God hasn't. I say no reason to stop. God hasn't. So we'll keep moving on. Oh, I see I didn't finish my kite. All right. Anybody interested in the children's story? We usually have some more children here, don't we? Yeah. Well, that's okay. I'm happy for the ones that are here. So, tonight I want to talk about light and darkness. Which would you rather live in, light or darkness? Light. Would you like it to be dark part of the time? Like when you sleep?
Yeah.
Yeah, it depends on the kind of dark we're talking about. You can't fall asleep. Yeah, if it's light, it's hard to fall asleep. And, you know, that's good because light is so important. We can find things in the light, can't we? And we can not run into things and bump our toes or our shins or our elbows or our noggins, our heads, or bump our noses. But it's light that we find when it's dark. Yeah. Well, the Apostle Paul in the book of Ephesians talks about light and darkness and how we have become children of the light. And the Bible also says in another place that God is light. And in him, in God, there is no darkness at all. Now, light and darkness in the Bible can refer to righteousness, holy living, that would be light, and sin would be darkness, and evil would be darkness. And the Bible talks about people that don't know Jesus, that are unsaved, that live in the darkness. And the things they do in the darkness are evil. And we shouldn't even talk about those things.
Why?
Because they're evil. And God wants us to focus on the light.
Even though.
And I'm sorry?
Even though we should not talk about darkness, but our children must know darkness so they don't know the difference between the darkness and the light.
Well, it's interesting that you say that. When bank tellers go to work at a bank, one of the things that is really important for them to learn is the difference between real money and counterfeit money, okay? And the way they teach tellers to know the difference is to become so familiar with how real money looks and feels and crinkles and everything about it, its size, its shape, its thickness, the texture. And when they know the real so well, then anything that's not like the real is counterfeit. They don't give them a number of different counterfeit bills and say, study these. They never look at a counterfeit bill. They only look at the true money and learn to know what it's like. And I believe that's the way God wants us to live. He wants us to live so pure and holy and focused on him that we know that he is love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, faith, self-control, that anything else we know is not God. And so we don't want to have anything to do with anything that's not God and not like God. So if something is untrue, if something is immoral, if something is unholy, if something is greed, then we know those things are not God. And we don't want to have anything to do with them. And so the best way to walk in the light is to know the light, is to know God, and to know that his heart is always to love and be kind and generous and good. And when we do those things, we're pleasing him. And we want everything we do in life to please him. We don't want to do anything that disappoints him or that's less than what he wants. So let's pray. Father, I thank you so much that you are light and that you are good, you are generous, you are kind. What a joy to know that you love us passionately and you love these children. I pray that they will be so aware of your love, that their hearts would beat with a passion, with a desire to please you in everything that they do. I pray that they'll walk in the light, that they'll walk in Jesus as you want them to every day of their lives. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Here's where I said I didn't finish my typing. know, it says Ephesians 5, 1, 2, and then it doesn't have an ending point. Well, I have good news for you. I'm not planning to preach from Ephesians 5 to the end of Revelation. So we will be going home sometime this evening. At least that's my plan. Holy Spirit shows up, and who knows? Back in the early 70s, what was the seminary that we visited together in Wilmore, Kentucky? It was so close. Asbury Theological Seminary in Wilmore, Kentucky. They were the dean of the school, I think it was, or the president, was out of town one day on college business. And it was a Christian college. And on his way home in the evening, he got a phone call, and where he called the school from where he was. This was before cell phones, so it wasn't while he was driving that he got this call. But he got word from the campus that something was going on. And he says, what's happened? He says, well, you know, and this was late in the evening. He said, chapel's not over. He says, what? You know, chapel started at maybe 9 in the morning. Mm-hmm. And this was like 6, 7 in the evening. Mm-hmm. And they said, chapel's not over. He says, well, what's going on? What happened? He says, well, the Holy Spirit showed up. And somehow they maybe had a testimony time or something, but I believe it was a student came up front and just bared his soul, confessed his sins, and asked for forgiveness. And after a bit, another student came up and another student, and then there was a line. People started hearing about it in the community, and they came. And that line just didn't end. And chapel wasn't over for, I think it was days. They had a revival on that campus that was just amazing. So I say that I plan that we're going to go home this evening at around about 7:30, maybe at the latest, hopefully. But hopefully not. It'd be quite all right with me if Holy Spirit shows up and chapel just isn't open. Now, if I drag it out and it's me keeping it going, that's a different story. But if Holy Spirit shows up and he keeps it going and we're so enthralled with his presence that we just can't leave this place, we're here, Holy Spirit. Come do your thing. We want everything you got for us and nothing that's not you. So we're not going to try to conjure it up, but if Holy Spirit shows up, we're going to be here. And he's here. It's just how intense are we going to recognize his presence? How much in our physical bodies will we realize that he's here? Now, we've been working our way through the book of Ephesians, and we're in chapter 5, verse 1. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. So there's a lot there. One of the things is that we must understand that each of us is a dearly loved child of God.
Amen.
Okay. So say it with me. I am a dearly loved child of God. I am a dearly loved child of God. I think one of the biggest issues that Christians face today is a lack of understanding of who they are in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
And if we know our identity, then we know how to act.
Amen.
We know how to live.
Amen.
And if I know that I'm dearly loved by God, That gives me a freedom, that gives me a joy, that gives me a peace that, you know, go ahead and make my day. What's the worst thing you can do to me? You know, you can't do anything bad to me because Father loves me.
Amen.
And if I lose this life, I'm just graduating to the next.
Amen.
And it's a life of joy and peace and goodness. So we're to walk in the way of love just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. That's quite a way to live, the way Jesus loved us. He gave up everything for you, for me, held nothing back. And that's how we're supposed to be in our walk with the Lord. But among you, and here Paul gets repetitions. We read this in chapter 4, but now here we are reading it again in chapter 5. Now, remember back to our first, when we first started this study in Ephesians. He said that this is an epistle, it's a letter that Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus. And one of the purposes of the letters to the churches was to correct error that was being practiced, or error in doctrine, and set them straight and speak to issues in the church, call them to faithfulness, obedience to God. So there must have been an issue with some unholy living going on in the church of Ephesus, because he's repeating what he did in chapter 4, almost verbatim. Not exactly word for word, but there's a lot of similarity when you start comparing chapter 4 and chapter 5. So as I was preparing this message, I'm thinking, oh, wait a minute, am I not preaching the same thing again? And apparently Paul thought the Ephesians needed to hear it twice. And when I think about how the world is living today, it's not unlike what Paul was addressing in the book of Ephesians. Very, very similar. And I think if Paul was among us today, he wouldn't just repeat it twice. I think he'd be harping on it. And not just in the church, but on the street as well. So we're going to go through this again. But among you, there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. You know, if we're dearly loved children of God, that means we've been adopted into this family, and my name is Earl Sheets. Okay, that's how you know me. But God gives us a name that no one knows. You read the book of Revelation. And I think we take on his last name when we're adopted into his family. And we're going to learn about, you know, contrary to popular opinion, God's last name is not Dan.
Right. Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
But, you know, I don't know what God's last name is, but I know it's holy.
Amen.
I know it's a name that has great respect, and it's a name that has no tarnish to it. It's a name that when you hear the name of God, it's just, oh, wow. That's awesome. That's holiness personified. That's goodness, that's graciousness, that's kindness, that's generosity. And it's improper for us not to live up to our name. Now, if I'm a sinner, if I'm not saved, then my father is the devil because I'm living for him. And then those improper things are normal. It's what you expect. Jesus said, you're of your father, the devil, and he was a liar from the beginning.
Amen.
Well, that's not God. That's not us. We can't be liars. We can't be impure. We can't be sexually immoral. We can't be impure. we can't be greedy. That greed is a sneaky thing. If you're greedy, how can you be generous? Can't do the two at the same time. You gotta be generous. And I addressed it a bit last week when I talked about the idea of an orphan and how the orphans have to fend for themselves because they have no father. And so when they get something, they gotta hang on to it because it's all they have. They don't have a way of getting more unless they get it themselves. But we have a father. We have a generous father. And we don't need to hang on to things because he has abundance and he supplies our needs abundantly. And there's always more where he comes from. And so we can be generous, we can be kind. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. Now, I referred a little bit ago to God's last name, not being Dan. I have a cousin who knows the Lord, and he worked as a carpenter, as a contractor, and he was working in a large commercial building, and I think it was a warehouse of some kind, and they were building it, and they were still constructing the walls and the ceiling and stuff. And so it was early stages of construction, and you know, buildings tend to be less sturdy until they're really put together completely. And so he's standing in this large open warehouse kind of area, as I understand it, and there's another worker there with him, and something upset that worker, something horrible, and he just let fly with, "God damn it." And my cousin heard that, and he jumped, and he started running out of the building. And the guy said, "Where are you going? What you doing?" He said, "Well, I don't know about you, but when I pray, I expect God to answer."
Whoa.
And he didn't want to be under the building when God crushed it, when God answered that prayer. We need to think about how we talk and how do we respond to people around us who talk differently. There's this thing called peer pressure, and sometimes it's hard, it seems, to go against the flow, to go against the grain. But, you know, if we're going to be children of the light, we're going to walk in the light if there's not going to be darkness in us. Sometimes we're going to need to find ways to stand up for the light. Sometimes we're going to have to let our light shine so that people in the darkness get a hint what light is like. Because if you live in a dark place, you know, you don't know what light is. I remember somebody said one time that you know, until a certain family came into town, we thought our children were really good. We thought our children were white. But now we realize there's a room for growth. And until we see the light in Christ, we don't know how dark it is around us. And sadly, the longer we as light are in the darkness and around the darkness, too often our light gets dimmer. That's not natural. That's not right. It's not the way it should be. Did you ever walk into a room? When I come into this room, almost always the first one here on a Sunday evening, this room is pretty dark. In fact, Jeremy, turn that light off back there, will you please? And Pat, would you put that light switch there? Let me show you what it's like in this room when it's off. Now, we got this light, so we got some good light in here. We can see each other. But I suggest that this is what it's like when we're out in the world rubbing shoulders with unbelievers. There's a lot of darkness out there, and we're the light. And the less light there is in a room, the more darkness there is. But now flip the light on again. Where's the darkness? You can sit down again. Thanks. You don't need my illustration. Well done, guys. Appreciate it. When we walk into a room, it should become bright. It should be light. People should notice the change. They should notice the difference. We should impact them. We bring the atmosphere of heaven into the place with us. We don't allow the atmosphere of hell to affect us and to overpower us. Because greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. And it's not close. So, you know, that's where there's no room in our lives for obscenity, for foolish talk, or coarse joking. You know, I used to tell jokes that I never should have. And I've pretty much quit it. And I've tried to find ways to use humor that are, it's more self-deprecating if it's going to put somebody down than putting other people down. And people find that more humorous. They find it hurtful when I use humor to put them down. And that's just something that we need to think about. Humor's good. Jesus laughed. God gave us humor. You know, Jesus had full emotions like we do. The shortest verse in the Bible, Jesus wept. Okay? But Jesus said, I give you joy. Great joy. You know, and when Jesus was born, the angel said, I bring you good news of great joy that's to all people. And so joy should be part of the Christian life, part of the Christian walk. It's one of the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace. And so we should have joy and laughter in our life. Laughter is good, like a medicine, proverb says. But coarse joking, foolish talk, obscenity are out of place in the Christian life. They don't belong there. They're counterfeit, if you will. But rather, thanksgiving. We should be giving thanks. Thank you, Lord, for a beautiful day. Thank you, Lord, for being able to be together with brothers and sisters in Christ. Thank you, Lord, that you love me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We should speak thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure. Now here's some pretty straight words. No immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a person is an idolater. They worship idols. Has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. So for immoral, impure, or greedy, can't be a Christian, it says. So who am I? What defines me? Well, I want to be a child of God. I want to be defined by the fruit of the Spirit. I want to love. How do I love? People who know they are loved find it easy to love. That's why we started out. We are loved by God. Not just loved by God. We're dearly loved by God. If I can understand and I can really believe in my heart of hearts and know that I know that I know that I am dearly loved by God, and I can love others, and it doesn't matter how they treat me. You don't have to love me back for me to love you, because God loves me. You know, when we're little children and we're growing up, if our mommy and daddy are happy with us, life is good. It doesn't matter what other people think of us. Well, my daddy says, or my mommy says, and we'll tell our friends that. And we'll keep believing what mommy and daddy say. But we grow up and we become Christians, and our daddy says, and Satan says, did your daddy really say? He said, that's not our good response. Our response is, yes, my daddy says, no coarse joking, no obscenity, no greed. There's abundance, there's plenty. Here, have some. I've got more where that came from. You can have all the love you want, because love is one of those things that we can love extravagantly, because we can give away all the love we have tonight. And as soon as we give it away, not only does it come back to us, but we have more than when we started. Love is compounds. And it compounds not by hoarding it, but by giving it. The more we give, the more we get. If you really want to feel loved, love somebody. Doesn't matter if they love you back. When we express love and kindness and generosity, we're full of love, joy, peace, the fruit of the Spirit. Because that's the Spirit of God working in us. And when God is working in us, it's His fruit that's going to flow from us. It's incredible how that works. And the more immoral, impure, or greedy we are, the less love we have, the more guilty we feel, the more self-centered we are, and the more the world is just a horrible place. And so be done with that. Turn to the Lord. Live for Him. Live like Him. Love as He loves. Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them. There's false teaching in the world. And we live in a world that we think, you know, in the 60s, it was, if it feels good, do it. It's not what God said. And that has, I think, permeated our society and our thinking, and it's perpetrated, it's continued to feed itself, and we still feel that way. I may not use that same terms, but you know, we don't talk about, we find ways to include people. And I'm all for including people. But to be part of the church, we got to be a child of God. You know, I can be your friend, and I can relate to you, and I can love you, but it doesn't mean you're my brother or sister in Christ. And it doesn't mean that I'm going to tell you that, hey, keep living like you are, it's just fine, you'll be in heaven someday, because you don't have that promise if you're not living for Christ. Scripture is very, very clear that there's one way to God, and that's through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Salvation by grace through faith. It's not by works. We can't earn it. And so, you know, that's how we get in. And if we don't meet that standard, then we're lost. And then the church sign that I saw earlier today. Yeah. the church sign that I saw earlier today in Virginia that said, if you think it's hot here, dot, dot, dot. So we don't want that. We don't want that for us. We don't want that for our friends. We don't want that for our neighbors. I hope we don't want it for our worst enemy.
Amen.
Certainly not for people that we love. God so loved the world. God showed his love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Did God love Hitler? Absolutely. Did he love what Hitler did?
Nope.
No matter. But he loved Hitler passionately. Jesus died for Hitler. And you can substitute any name of any evil person that you want to. It can be a racist, it can be a homosexual, it can be whatever the sin is. God loves that person passionately. Enough that Jesus died for them while they were still in their sin. Just like he did for us. Okay, for once you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Well, let me give you the answer real quick to what pleases the Lord. Goodness, righteousness, and truth. Those things please the Lord. Love, joy, and peace. Gentleness, kindness, goodness. Those things please the Lord. And those are the things that we want to focus on. Those are the things that we want to be evident in our life. That's who we are. That's what we should be focusing on. That's what we should be talking about. That's the standard we should invite others to rise to. But they can't do it without Jesus in their life. If somebody can live a Christian life and please God without Jesus, then Jesus didn't need to die.
Amen.
And if Jesus didn't need to die, that makes God a horrible person, an abuser of his son. And he's not an abuser, he's a lover. God is love. Never abused anybody or anything in his entire existence. And so Jesus only died because there was absolutely no other way. If there was, God would have used that way. So walk in light, please the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes of light. Okay? That evil person, if they become illuminated, what does that mean? If the light shined on them? Yeah, it started by shining on them. And then they received the light, and the light became part of their life, and they became light. That's salvation. That's conversion. That's becoming a new person in Christ Jesus. That's being adopted into the family of God. And now, that person that was dark and evil is light and good. Because God changed them from the inside out. Not because they raised themselves up to a higher plane of consciousness. That is a lie of the enemy. We can't possibly raise ourselves to another level. Have you ever tried pulling yourself up by your bootstraps? How far did you get? You know, you might have ripped the straps off the boots or the tops off the soles, but you didn't get any higher. And just between you and me, you looked foolish while you were trying. You thought you were doing really good, but, you know, I'm sorry. This is why it said, Wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. We don't need to continue to walk in darkness. And if we find ourselves, we've made a decision for Christ, and we want to live with him, but now I'm looking at my life and it's not where it should be, all's not lost. We can get straight anytime. We need to go to the Lord, confess our sin. He's faithful, just, to forgive us our sin, to cleanse us, and then begin to walk in the light again. Walk in the truth. Don't continue to wallow in that sin and think you're good. As long as you're in the sin and continuing in the sin, you got to quit that. Be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise. Making the most of every opportunity. Because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Here he comes back the third time to what the Lord's will is. Remember that? Righteousness, truth, holiness. And it's the days are evil. You know, it's not just the nights that are evil, but it's the days are evil. And hey, Paul could have been written to the church today, just like the church at Ephesus. We live in an evil society where evil reigns and rules, and we're watching more and more evil becoming more brazen and calling evil good. And who's standing up and saying, oh no, evil's still evil. God hasn't changed. It's like the church I was pastoring in the early 2000s, we challenged the lifestyle of a person in the church, and the parents of that person said, but, you know, don't they know it's the 90s? And I said, what's his point? It was the 90s 100 years ago. And I don't care if it's the 90s or the 20s or the 30s. God's word doesn't change.
Amen.
God's will doesn't change.
Amen.
God's standard remains the same.
Amen.
And when we try to dilute it or run it down or say, oh, well, this sin's okay now because we've become enlightened. And no, you've become endarkened. Not enlightened. I think I just coined the term. So therefore, do not be foolish. That's what enlightened is. Foolish. But understand what the Lord's will is. Here we go. I shouldn't have spent so much time getting to here. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. And if you don't know what the word debauchery means, that's evil living. That's drunkenness. That's foolishness. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord. Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery, drunkenness, drunken living, foolishness, nonsense, all kinds of immorality. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. We're comparing or contrasting drunkenness to being filled with the Spirit. Where did we ever hear that before? Remember the day of Pentecost? Holy Spirit showed up, tongues of fire, and everybody in the room started speaking in other languages as God gave them utterance. And the disciples went out on the street, and the people gathered, and they heard all this going on, all this different languages being talked and stuff, and this mighty rushing wind that had come in. And the sound of a mighty rushing wind that came in, and they said, what's going on here? Are these people drunk? And Peter said, No, they're not drunk. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. But what's wrong with you folks? The bars aren't even open yet. How could they be drunk? Well, they thought they were drunk, but they were filled with the Spirit. And so maybe there are times when being filled with the Spirit has a similar effect on someone who is filled with wine, drunk. And I've seen that. I could go into that, but I won't take the time. I said we'd be out of here by 9:30. Yeah, that's nice appreciation of the place with the clock on the wall. So sometimes when Holy Spirit shows up, it's hard to tell the difference whether somebody's drunk or if they're filled with the Spirit. And I've been in groups where that was true and it was very clear that it was the Holy Spirit. And I've been in groups that tried to put it on, and I just wasn't comfortable there at all with the goings on, the whooping and the hollering and the shouting and the carrying on. That didn't at all resonate with me as coming from the Holy Spirit. So, you know, it's if the Holy Spirit moves us, that can be the effect. And sometimes it is the Spirit. And if it is, then I certainly want to welcome it. If it's not, we don't want to have anything to do with it. We don't try to show each other up to show each other that we're filled with the Spirit. If we're doing that, that's not the Spirit. That's the unholy Spirit. That's drunkenness. Not Spirit-filledness. And so we want to be moved by the Spirit of God. And so what do? We speak to one another with psalms, with hymns, with songs from the Spirit. Songs that just spring forth. Sing a hallelujah. Remember, the song leader says, I can't sing your hallelujah for you. It's got to come from within you. That's what it's talking about here. A song that just springs up in my heart. Maybe I'm driving down the road. Maybe I'm at work. Maybe my coworker just broke out in obscenity. And so I'm saying, that's another thing my cousin did one time. The guy goes off with a string of obscenity. He says, just wait. I demand equal time. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Glory to the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. You know, we need to be praising the Lord, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And it needs to make music from our heart. Okay? It comes from my heart. It's not to try to show up my neighbor that's trying to sing louder than me and show off in church more than me. No, that's not what it's about. It's that clear, honest expression of my heart to the Lord. I love you, Lord. So I lift my voice to worship. Take joy, my King, in what you hear. May it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. Or whatever the words are that flow from my heart to the heart of God. And just like if you're a parent, maybe you had your child come and sing a song to you that they made up. And your heart just goes pitter-patter. It doesn't matter if the song makes sense or not. It came from their heart to yours. And I believe that's the way it is with God. He just wants his little children, that's us, don't care how long you've been a Christian, to sing from their hearts to him. Express our hearts of gratitude, of joy, of love to the Father, to the Lord Jesus, the Holy Spirit, for all they've done for us. Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Some time ago, I preached a sermon about the name. And the crux of it was, the name is not just tacking on in Jesus' name to the end of a prayer or to the end of a sentence. If we're going to do it in the name of Jesus, that means we do it in the character and the authority of Jesus. So if what I'm saying is not in the character or under the authority of Jesus, then it's not in Jesus' name, even if I tack in Jesus' name on the end of it. So we want to, everything we do, everything we say, be in the character and under the authority of the Lord Jesus. If we do that, our light's going to shine bright. And our joy, just like Jesus offered us, will be complete. Let's pray. Father, thank you that we come to you and you hear us. You told us that we can approach the throne of grace boldly. And so we come tonight. I just want to express how much I love you and how grateful I am that you love me. And on behalf of each one here, I just am so grateful your love for us, so joyful of your presence in our lives. Thank you for loving me. And I pray that our knowledge and our experience of that love will be deeper and more real each day. And it will permeate our being, and it will cause us to walk in the light, to walk in truth, to walk in righteousness and holiness, as you call us, walking in your will, because we're like you, we're like our Lord Jesus. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So if we're like Jesus, people are going to see you, because they see Christ in us. Not that we're good of ourselves, but you're so good that you flow through us. I pray that our hearts will just be permeated with your presence and your spirit. And there'll be more and more of you shining through our lives each day. Keep coming, Holy Spirit, with your fullness, I pray. In Jesus' awesome name. And I believe that it's in his character and under his authority. Amen. God bless you with an awesome week. Thanks for coming tonight. I almost forgot to share some really exciting news. Next Sunday, you want to be sure to be here and bring your friends, because we have a sermon coming, and I can brag on it because I'm not preaching. We have a guest speaker coming that you are going to be thrilled to hear. Her name is Pansy Sheets. Have a great week.